And we are back. The Morning Show, Mountain Home Radio. Sorry about that, Tommy. We're having a great conversation behind the scenes, and we were running out of time to get back on the air.
Learning how to run a radio station.
Well, it is very fascinating to go through some of this stuff behind the scenes, and I always love hearing what you guys have. And I want to start off where we started the show. We have been experiencing some very, very dry conditions. Let's start there with what we can do right now to help out the plants that we do have.
The first and most important thing you can do is inspect your plants for stress.
Okay.
If you go around your yard every day or two, and I mean look at everything, make sure that you have your sprinklers when you set them, that they're hitting everything. I found in my garden some things had grown larger, and the sprinklers I had set were not getting to something on the other side of it.
Okay.
So I had to move the sprinkler. I set sprinklers and kind of keep them for the season.
Yep.
But some things got larger. I also found...
If you hadn't been watering it, it wouldn't have grown.
There you go. And when I moved the sprinkler, the plant recovered immediately.
Awesome. Okay.
Okay. So that's one thing.
So you say look for signs of stress. What are some symptoms of stress that we might be easily able to identify?
Yellowing leaves, which also could mean too much water, but obviously that shouldn't be your problem right now.
Okay.
Wilting, the leaves curling up and browning.
Right.
Okay, just the plant just doesn't look like
just
he's happy.
Doesn't look healthy and happy.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Also, I found if you have plants that have a real heavy leaf cover, I have a Dutzia that just, it was this spring, was just covered with all the rain we had, and the water wasn't getting between the leaves to the ground.
Down into the ground.
So those are some of those plants you're going to have to treat like you do a pot and water them every day.
Okay.
Or every other day. You're just going to kind of take the lead from that. But the best thing you can do is to absolutely take a look at what's going on. Also, you may find, as I did, and I should know better, I had a coral bells where it was getting too much sun.
Yes.
And it was getting too much late afternoon sun.
Okay.
And it just wasn't happy, and I watered it, and it just didn't seem like it was doing. So in spite of the heat, I did what I absolutely tell you not to do. I moved it. And I moved it to the shade, and when I moved it, I moved it when it was shady where it was at, and I put the sprinklers on that area right away, so it got a good healthy drink.
Yep.
And then I treated it like a pot for about a week. And it looks really happy.
Fantastic.
Now, I don't recommend moving stuff in this heat, and you certainly don't want to move something into the sun, but if you got something that's stressed and you think the problem is because you made a mistake where you sighted it, get it out of there, because all the water in the world is probably not going to help it.
Gotcha. Okay. Just a simple thing you can do. And water right now, you can overwater, but it's going to take a little bit of time. But you don't want to put too much water in an area either right now.
No, you don't want to get anything soggy.
Right.
All right. You want to get about an inch of water a week to your areas. You got to watch your pots. Make sure that we want to water those pots really heavy.
They're going to need a little more water in this heat.
Yes. Without
a doubt. Okay. Go ahead.
Watering your pot plants is imperative, and then that's one of those things.
Potted plants.
Yes. Get out and do that almost on a daily basis.
Oh,
and
that's
maybe like she said, twice a day, because I've got some. I actually had to move a plant yesterday. It was in a small pot, and it was just drying out way too fast.
Okay.
And I put it in a much larger pot.
Exactly.
But I did the same thing Seal said. I watered it very well. But pot plants, remember also, you can move them to where they're out of the sunshine. Very few plants want to sit out there at 5 o'clock in the afternoon with that sun.
Well, picture yourself out there where your plant is at, and that's
right.
Something my grandfather told me, and I remember this from like 5 or 6 years old. Put yourself where the plant is, stand there for 30 minutes in the afternoon, and if you're melting, plant's probably going to melt too.
Your grandpa was a wise man.
Absolutely. I've literally moved pots behind a post under the pergola so that they weren't fate. The pergola gave them some shade.
Okay.
It makes a bunch of difference.
Right.
All right. We've just got excessive heat, and that heat is compounded, especially in something like a pergola, where you've got rock or concrete around it. And Tommy made a great point, the size of your pots.
Yes.
If you have a small pot, you're going to just be having a heck of a time right now.
Yep.
Anytime you put in anything in a pot, you want to go to the biggest pot you have, because you can water it more. Make sure the pot has good drainage, because if it doesn't, you're just going to have
a separate set of problems. Yep.
Okay? And it'll happen both ways. There's some things you can give too much water to.
Yep.
Okay.
Lavender lavender does not like too much water. I've
no,
learned that.
Neither do tuberous begonias, and I just lost one.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. So we both learned lessons the hard way this year. All right.
Well, it's a tough year to gauge because there's some things that still you can overwater in spite of the weather.
Okay,
so
gotcha.
Pay attention. Mm-hmm. Look at the plant. That's the best thing you can
yes.
do is to observe. We always tell you that with pests, with watering. Take a look, and that you'll save yourself some money if you do.
Yep.
And you'll be happy.
And you'll be happy. One point, though, the bigger pot also will not evaporate as quickly. And one thing that I learned growing up, don't put those pots on concrete or surfaces that will themselves get hot and radiate the heat
yes.
back up to the plant. Get them, if you're sitting it on concrete, give them a set off of someplace, a couple of boards underneath them, some way to get them up off of that concrete where that heat's going to dissipate across the entire
right.
surface.
Absolutely. Or get them where they're not in the direct sunlight.
Yeah, and that's huge.
That you know, partial sunlight will do just as much as in this weather as
mm-hmm.
full sun.
Yep.
I think Scott's becoming a master gardener. He's
there you go. We're going to have to sign him up.
Well, I've learned a few things from some very, very fantastic folks who come to visit me once a month on Wednesdays. And some things do stick in the head. My wife will never believe that, but occasionally things do stick in my head. Seal, one thing that I have learned about is some of the different plants that can grow in the area. Growing up in a different climate, we had some different plants where I was at, and then moving here, it's like, yeah, I want to have this. Yeah, it didn't live.
yeah.
We do need to buy plants that are going to survive and thrive in this area. Oftentimes, we want that yellow spot in the yard. That yellow spot may not be wanting to be in our yard.
You have to pay attention to what belongs here, mm-hmm. all right? Things that are drought tolerant certainly are a better idea for here.
Okay.
And it doesn't mean you can't have some things that are not great. You have to understand that if you plant them, you're going to have to babysit them some more. You
right.
have to incite them properly.
Yep.
And they may only last the season. All
okay.
right. We buy tropical plants, and we dry tropical hibiscus.
Yes.
I've got one in a pot, and it is beautiful.
Yes, they're gorgeous.
And I will buy another one next spring.
Year. That's right.
Yep. That's the way that works.
Yep.
All right.
We actually had one that survived in a pot, and we moved inside over the winter, and the next summer's heat took it out.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so yeah, we babied it all year long. We're doing great, and it was just literally, we took an extra day of vacation at one point and lost the hibiscus.
That's a shame, but you can bring things in if you're willing to babysit
mm-hmm.
them. That's not a problem.
Right.
But otherwise, I mean, there's some things you're going to spend $25 for something, and it costs you $25 to fill a pot with plants, and whether you do it with a tropical plant or a bunch of annuals, mm-hmm. it's an investment, and it's part of your hobby, and that's kind of how I look
there
at it.
There you go. It's just okay. part of the fun. Mm-hmm. So do we have a plant of the month for this
hot
month
goodness.
Of July?
Yes, we do. We have something called a Japanese painted fern.
Japanese painted fern.
Right.
Okay.
Now, it will only grow in shade, part to full shade.
All right.
All right. It certainly will not tolerate any afternoon sun, but
uh-huh.
it will take some morning sun.
Okay.
What's nice about it is the foliage is silvery. Goes to a silvery blue or green, depending on the way you look at it.
Okay.
All right. Stands about 18 to 24 inches tall. It'll naturalize, but it'll do it slowly.
Uh-huh.
So don't get excited about how fast that it does. It can be divided over some. It's clump forming. It'll tolerate acidic soil. Water it weekly.
Okay.
Now, I've had in this seed, I've got it planted right up against some trees, and trees will be something that suck all the moisture
yeah.
out of the ground. They're the big guy on the
mm-hmm.
block, the bully. So you may have to water. I have found I'm watering him about every 5 days instead of every seven.
Gotcha.
But that's still for this kind of weather.
Making
not
sure
a
they're
big
watered,
deal.
Though, is a big thing, but making sure they don't have too much water sounds like it's a big thing, also.
Yes, it will, but with this one, in this weather, it would be hard to do that.
Okay.
All right. It's deer resistant.
Tommy? Yeah, just a little help for you there.
Yeah, right. I need all the help I can get.
We both turned and looked at you when
yeah.
she said that.
Yeah.
But rabbits do like it.
Okay.
Unfortunately, all right. There's numerous varieties, and some of them, the stem will be reddish or purplish,
ooh,
all right, depending on the variety, all right. I don't look for varieties on this one. Whatever one is in the store is the one I buy, and it's a nice addition to your yard, and it's something that brightens it up, and it's not just green. It's something for the shade that will give you a little luminescence. So
fantastic.
Kind of fun.
Okay, very cool. That sounds like a neat little plant to add some color. color full shade, though, is necessity.
Part to full shade.
All right. That's absolutely, it sounds like it's going to add a splash of color, an absolutely unique plant, it sounds like, for most gardens in this area.
And nice texture, because it's a fern.
Well, ferns are ferns.
Ferns are ferns.
I think they're beautiful. And again, like you said, the different colors. And I've got, our yard is, I've got an acre of property, so we got shade, we got all of it. Mm-hmm. And I've got some areas that are just true shade areas, and that's a perfect plant to put in there. So,
it's a nice foil to your hostas.
Right. Okay, there you go.
Without a doubt, it'll highlight the hostas.
Highlight the hostas and maybe help to keep the deer slightly further
slow
away.
Slow them down.
Slow them down.
No, we were talking about watering and drought. Another thing, if you have semi-new trees, make sure those guys get watered. I've got a maple in my yard that I actually turn on the drip thing and let it drip because it gets way down in there and gets it going.
Yep.
And you could drive around the neighborhood. This is a perfect example. You can look and see trees that are under stress right now.
Yes.
And they need some deep watering. They need that slow. And again, I'm talking a trickle. Just let it trickle on there for a while. But anyway.
Your trees definitely need to be watered just like your beds.
Mm-hmm.
And maples are particularly thirsty trees for one. All right. And you want to remember that when you water, you want to cover an area all the way to the drip line. The canopy,
all the way to the drip line.
Right.
That's a very important part, yes.
Absolutely, because there's roots that go all the way out to as far out as your branches go.
Yep.
So definitely you want to play that game. But maples are thirsty trees. I have a maple in a flower bed, a couple of them. And whether they're Japanese maples or colorful maples,
maples
is just the variety.
To drink. Yep.
And I will water those areas twice in a week instead of once.
Not at all surprised to hear that. That's one tree that I do know just likes to suck up the water.
Right,
so,
it does.
Yep. A beautiful addition to the yard. Sounds like for color-wise, what months does it grow in? Is this a year-round plant? Is this something we only see like March through September? What are we looking at for a time frame?
Japanese painted ferns are perennial, so they're going to come up in the spring. They're going to die to the ground in the fall.
Uh-huh, gotcha.
So you've got them all year.
Beautiful.
They'll come up in the spring. They're come up with the little curlicues and stuff. I'm forgetting the name of them.
All right.
But they're cool. They're just cool little plants.
Fantastic. Looking forward to seeing those. I'm going to have to go home and, as I've been wanting to do on a couple of occasions, look up a plant we've talked about. So. I really want to jump into the Name the Dude contest, but you guys have some other information to get to. I do know that you guys have been having your regularly scheduled meetings once again. I don't believe there was one this month, but they are getting back underway next. Is that accurate?
Yes, we're going to have a meeting on August 11th, and we have a gentleman coming to talk about mushrooms on that day.
Ooh. And one of the things that I did not know when I moved to this part of the world is that there are mushrooms growing in lots of places we don't necessarily think to find them. And
we're going to learn about them next month.
Going to learn about them next month. Well, my wife and my daughters have all learned how to forage for different mushrooms
really?
Out in back.
Really? That's something I've not done.
This is something I'm not brave enough to even attempt to eat them, let alone to go out and hunt for them. So,
Scott, back in the day, we had a lady that was president of the Master Gardeners, and her husband was big into growing mushrooms and growing these things. And he lived up by Missouri. And we had a full-day class up there. And the one thing I got out of the class was, if you cannot identify a mushroom, do not eat it. There are some mushrooms that if you eat them, that's the last time you're going to get to eat.
Yep.
So anyway, and they don't really have any antidotes for some of these things. You eat it and you get a takeaway from a class. That was my takeaway. But this guy grows all kinds of them, and it was really fun.
And there's more mushrooms that can hurt you than there are the ones that don't, so be careful.
My wife learned at a young age how to identify the ones that are safe to eat and pass that down to my daughter. I grew up in a city and foliage has always been a struggle for me. I can identify green trees and brown trees, and sometimes it doesn't get a whole lot better than that, I'll be the first to admit. You guys have been a font of information. My experience has been a little bit of backyard gardening before I was involved with you folks. So it's been some great information coming out of you. We need to take a quick little break right now. There's still some more information we do need to get out. And we are back. The Morning Show, Mountain Home Radio. No line over there at the drive-thru at Hardee's to speak of. Stop on by over there, get yourself something to eat or drink. All kinds of great food and drink available over there. Get your day started off right with a breakfast at Hardee's. All right. I'm going to get to the topic that I have been waiting to discuss for the day today. And this is completely self-serving because I know at least two young children that will be submitting entries for this contest.
Great.
And We have talked about this tree now for a couple of years. It is right there at the corner of 9th Street and Main right here in town.
Yes.
And 9th and 62, right across from the Sheriff's Department.
Yep.
And it is a tree that has been decorated very, very liberally over the last several years.
Right.
Well, we don't want to call it that tree. We need a name. We need a name for that tree. And we're going to enlist the people of Baxter County and anybody who attends this year's Baxter County Fair to help, if I understand things correctly.
You got it right on the money. They'll have an opportunity to submit a name, and mm-hmm. we'll end up picking the name that we think is the best. And okay. It can be a male. It can be a female.
Right.
So we don't know the gender. So
you
get to pick what you want to. It's going to be fun. I can hardly wait to see. And the prizes are pretty good prizes. I mean,
we're going to have prizes for this?
Oh, this is
one
a big
prize.
Deal.
One prize.
Okay.
You get a choice of, you can be a one free registration for the Master Gardener training class.
Ooh.
And that's $100 value.
Yes, sir.
Or $100 at Kelly Thomas, which is a great nursery.
Yeah.
Or $100 at Carl Wayne's. Or $100 at Walmart.
Okay.
Or $100 at Harp. So we got.
Wow.
These are people that have all been nice enough to donate these things to us mm-hmm. through the times. And but anyway, you'll get to pick whichever one you want. So this is awesome. This is a good deal. And Seal is kind of the brainchild behind this.
Okay.
Her and the board. And
Seal's saying really?
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to it.
Yes.
I think it's going to be cool. I want to see some of the names. But
that's for me. I'm looking forward to seeing some of the names. So was this partly your idea then, Seal, or just a discussion that sort of morphed into this?
No, it was my idea. We wanted to name the dude, and you told us it had to be the dude or dudette. I stand corrected there too. Okay.
Yep.
But it's going to be a fun time.
Oh yeah.
Registrations will just be at the fair.
Okay.
Any child that wants to enter has to have their parent or adult with them.
Right.
All right.
Yep.
We will pick one winner.
Okay.
If we get the same name and that's the one we pick, then we'll draw for that.
Aha.
All right.
Okay.
So that could happen.
Okay.
All right.
Yes, definitely.
It definitely could. But come on, you put your thinking caps on, mm-hmm. get your kids out to the fair, come visit us at the horticulture room, and
yep.
anyone that wants to enter the fair with something in the horticulture room, be it plants, vegetables, I know it's a tough year out there,
yep.
but definitely we want the entries there. Come win yourself a ribbon. Okay?
Yes.
Without a doubt. It'd be a fun time. Come visit us there. And
we're going to have you on just a couple days before the fair gets underway.
Yes, we
yes.
will.
So, yeah. We'll be plugging this one once again. I don't know how to ask this question. Do we have any names that have already been submitted that you've got
no.
thought about before? So now then the next question I have, and I'm sorry for asking this, there's green trees, there's brown trees. What kind of a tree is it?
It's a trumpet vine.
It's a trumpet vine.
Okay.
There we go. See, I would never have known that.
Okay.
So the trumpet vine needs a name.
It needs
now,
a name.
Now, I'm asking that question. You might include something to do with the tree name in the name of the tree that you're submitting, just to throw that out there.
Now you're giving hints to people. Now.
I'm just trying to provide a little bit of imagination fodder.
Okay.
You can do that, but you know.
You don't have to. No.
But it has to have something with a personality.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
I mean, if you see something in that tree or mm-hmm. that vine out there, think of a name that matches what you think of it. I mean, Judy has put all kinds of faces on there. Put on your thinking caps.
Tina the Trumpet Tree.
Scott's going to be the next month. He's going to lay in bed thinking of names. So,
I actually may enlist some help of a gentleman over at another radio station. Tim and I spent a lot of time.
That's the blind leading the blind. Oh.
We've got about 45 seconds left. You've got a meeting coming up here pretty soon. What else do we need to get through here? Let's talk about the meeting first really quickly.
We've got the guy coming on mushrooms. Come mm-hmm. visit us. You can come visit us anytime. We're the second Thursday of the month
yes.
at Presbyterian Church.
Everybody's invited.
Everyone's invited. It's free. We're there every month except July or December.
Right.
Visit us at BaxterCountyMG.com. You'll mm-hmm. get any information about the meetings, Master Gardeners, some good tips for your garden,
yep.
whatever. And think about becoming a member.
We'll
be announcing probably next month what the class schedule will be for the fall.
Gotcha. I was going to say, we're going to have the information coming out because that generally was released in August, I believe.
In August or early September.
Okay. Fantastic.
Yep.
Any other quick things? We've got about 15 seconds left.
BaxterCountyMG.com.
Stop on by. Check it out. You'll find the information there. If you're not a Master Gardener but you want to be one, they will have some registration courses. Stop in at the meeting here next month just to see what they are and what they're about. Going to be a great time. I'm looking forward to the fair, and I'm really looking forward to thinking up a few names.
I want to hear your names. I'm excited.
Tommy, Seal, it is so fun to have you guys in the studio. It's a shame we only get the chance to do this once a month, but that music playing in the background means that even this visit has come to an end. So thank you all for being here.